Today, I've also got an interesting sermon here. Not that the title is any different, but while I was studying this week, I shifted some of the verses. So this morning, I'm going to just read out of James 5, 7 through 11, not earlier verses later on. So listen to the word of the Lord out of the epistle of James, starting with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient over it until it receives the early and the late rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble, brethren, against one another, and that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we call those happy who were steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. One of the reasons I sort of shifted the verses was Friday I drove to Lakeland. Now this, you know the time of year it is. The snowbirds are back, and also the Christmas shoppers are out. So that's two double whammies right there. And I mean, it was bumper to bumper all the way to Lakeland and back. And you know, it's amazing at the mania and the way things that people will shout and scream at each other and all that. It was a nerve-wracking thing. So I stopped and tried out a BMW convertible while I was up there, so that calmed my nerves down a little bit. But if you notice this time of year, there's very little time. And you know, I said while we were waiting on Bryson to come in about silence and everything, I have never been in a church where they had a prayer of silence for just about a minute or two. Just try to sit sometime somewhere and not open your mouth. Ooh, that silence gets loud, doesn't it? It does. Humans don't like silence. Of course, I guess, you know, we wonder about the monks in the monastery or takes a vow of being silent all the time. But you ever think about that? This time of year, noise is the big factor. And it almost drowns out the true meaning of the season. And you know, one of the most successful Coca-Cola advertisements was pause, refresh yourself. Some of you may remember seeing it in old magazine advertisements. That was years before Things Go Better with Coca-Cola came out. The Brazilian Portuguese Coca-Cola equivalent would have said, Fica frio com Coca-Cola. That's how they say that down there in Brazil. And I much prefer it than the American version. But you know what it means? Chill out and take a break. Chill out and take a break. Do we do that much? Probably not. Mahatma Gandhi would walk everywhere throughout India, though occasionally he would ride a train. Once a meeting concerning the independence of India was to be held at the home of Muslim League President Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And Mr. Jinnah had sent his chauffeur to pick up the Mahatma at the train station. Mr. Jinnah waited and waited until finally he saw his automobile slowly driving up his drive. But the Mahatma was walking behind the car. The reason is that Gandhi wanted to greet the people in the streets, and an automobile would have inhibited him from doing so. Mr. Jinnah, upon seeing Gandhi walking at a leisurely place and even pace and smelling the flowers, while delaying a crucial meeting with the British, Mr. Jinnah rolled his eyes in the back of his head and says, Dear God, give me the patience and give it to me right now. That's what he thought about the whole thing. We live in a world of instant gratification. We have an instant satisfaction and instant coffee. You just think about that. We like everything in a microwave nowadays. It has to be done. We have TV dinners. We have ramen noodle cups and hot and ready pizza. We also have entertainment services which offer streaming and access to thousands of movies and TV shows. We hold phones in our hands which can can connect us with bank accounts and emails or Zurich, Switzerland immediately. Plus, when it doesn't load fast enough, the phone, we press some button to speed up operations. Companies like Amazon offer free two-day shipping. I should know about that. I own part of the company. However, when our package is not here by the end of day two, we might wonder if it will ever be delivered. We start just getting nervous about it. We live in a world of wanting it yesterday. Zachary Taylor waited 2 weeks until receiving notification that he had been elected president in the 1848 election. Can you imagine lingering that long today for such news? People used to get things by what they called letters in the mail, snail mail. Nowadays, very few people write, and that's sad, but now you have to wait. But have you ever noticed you can mail a letter from Bartow, say, to, I'll use Lake Wales for an example, and they can get the letter quicker to Hong Kong than they can to Lake Wales? Have you ever noticed that for some reason? What happens? I don't know. But anyway, patience is the basic element of everyday life, and it can be a challenge. It can be difficult to wait and to be patient. It may be an even bigger challenge in the light of adversity and suffering. James's audience was going through persecution. This was probably written about the time that you had Claudius and Nero and all those pleasant emperors who were throwing them in the Colosseum for amusement to be killed by lions. So there was a lot of things going on there in that time that the people who read James's writing here needed it for their support and strength and well-being. And you know, to meet this attitude of patience and everything, it does require a bigger challenge, especially if you're under the gun. They were being mistreated, and this is the sad thing, who were doing the mistreating, were prospering. Have you ever noticed something? I've noticed that. Why is it the meanie people always outlive the good people? Have you ever seen that? Why is it? Maybe they have more motivation or something. But I've noticed that through the years. And some of them in church, I tell you what, they always said three good funerals make a perfect church. And sometimes that may be true in some churches because some people seem to be just very arrogant, very disruptive, very irritating, because that's their mission in life to do so. And that is sad, because just think how better the world would be if we could all get along. And so James was preaching to them patience. He was preaching them patience, and he taught and encouraged patience in adversity, suffering, trials, and hardships. He was very serious about this. A lot of people don't like the book of James because it's an action book. James, to me, is one of the best books in the Bible. It teaches me a lot about, hey, you don't sit around. You get motivated, and you do things to help others in the name of God. And that's why I like James. There are some circumstances, however, out of our control. Those dilemmas do require patience, and we are usually powerless to do anything about them. We have no voice over a stock market crash, our real estate price drops, friendships for some reason fizzle. We have no control over politics and the policies produced. Life can throw those random curveballs of problems and more. Well, what's to be done? In such situations, we wait patiently and endure, but we also wait on the Lord. Isaiah mentions that in the book of Isaiah, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount upon like eagles. And remember that patience is something I have found has to be relearned with every challenge. As soon as I'm faced with a challenge, I learn to conquer and implement patience. But when a new challenge comes along, I have to relearn it all over again. But the thing about it is, I pat myself on the back after the challenge is finished because I accomplished that. And then lo and behold, I get humbled by thinking, maybe I ought to keep my big mouth shut. Because a lot of times, patience is a very elusive characteristic. And we need to have a little bit of patience. Remember the book of James talking about Job. You've heard about the patience of Job in the Old Testament. Well, it's basically Job went through a lot physically and emotionally, and he lost his whole world came tumbling down around him. Yet he had patience. And can we say that about our own selves? Can we say that? A gentle reminder is that, and it's a strength in our, really in our minds and hearts, is for those of us who are going through trials and tribulations, is that God continues to remain in control. See, we forget that. You know, I mean, you know, it's like I went to the doctor Monday. Now, I'm one of these people, I have that, what is it called, the White syndrome, what they call it, where the blood pressure shoots up 100 degrees or something like that. Well, I don't like doctors. I hope there's not a doctor in the house, but I don't really care for them. And anyway, and I was going, and the doctor, now, I mean, I thought things was going well and everything. I got his report back the next day and said I was uncooperative with him. Only thing I said, I didn't need a stress test. He said, about your heart? Well, I think I would know if my heart was in bad condition or not. And all that, I did agree for the diabetes. I'm going to have to quit my Pepperidge Farm chocolate cakes, I guess. But other than that, I mean, sometimes you do have to say no. And so I just, I wasn't being unkind. Actually, I was being very cordial, but I put that word uncooperative. Ooh, that burned my biscuits. So I'm looking for a new doctor now. Anybody have a guy with good bedside manner, let me know after church, and I'll take up on that. But, you know, that happens to everyone, whether it's a doctor's office or go somewhere. I was going to say go to the repair car garage, but I'm going to step on Pat's feet on that one, so I won't do that. He does excellent service, by the way. That's a little commercial for you. Remember me later. So, anyway, life can have its pitfalls. Life can have its detours as well. Did you ever imagine sometime, we say when you were in high school, did you imagine why you had your life a lot of times planned out, but guess what? You went in a completely different direction. I wanted to be a lawyer when I graduated from high school, and I had dreams of being a cross between another Perry Mason and some big senator. I don't know which one it was, but anyway, that's why, hey, I'm a preacher. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a lawyer, but at the same time, God led me into a different direction. And the secret to that is being flexible with God. And it's a matter of trusting God. And remember, and God does remain in control. When we feel like we're on that runaway roller coaster, God is with us all the time, and God never abandons us. And God does accomplish all that God purposes for us. And that is really a comforting thought. If we had a God who just abandoned us, this would be a very desolate faith that we have. But God loves us, and God is merciful and truly compassionate. And let me say this. If you read through the entire New Testament, you will never find compassionate mentioned anywhere else but here in the book of James. Compassionate is the twin sibling of love. You have to have compassion. I think I've shared that with you all. Compassion really seals love. It's a sealant for love. And so that is something we must remember. And God cares about us and what we are going through. But do you ever have the attitude, oh, my little problem, God doesn't want to be bothered with. God wants to be bothered with your little problems. Yes, it may not be the greatest tragedy of all times, but if you have a little problem, God's willing to help you out. He'll help me out too. And it's not that difficult to pray. But we seem to want to do it on our own and try to fix it ourselves. And guess what? We mess up, don't we? For example, and I know this is probably going to make me sound very simplistic, and probably you'll think I need special ed courses or something, but do you ever misplace something and you tear the house apart looking for it, and then all of a sudden you ask the Lord, help me, Lord, with my stupidity? And guess what? It's right in front of you the whole time, what you were looking for. Try that sometime. But you know, and it happens to me all the time. Every time I look and look and look, and I get frustrated, and then I realize, well, I should have asked the Lord to help me out. Is that being silly? No. It's that we can count on God to help us out. Because we don't know everything, and in our cleverness sometimes can do us in. So next time, if you have a situation, and just as simple as that, don't go out on your own. God is there and goes ahead of us wherever we go. Before you leave your home every day, whether it's to work or to a club meeting or whatever it may be, ask God's protection. God will provide it. Just ask for God's protection. And it's something that most of us probably don't do, and we should do more often that. And so James focuses our attention on a God who cares, is merciful, and compassionate. God, through Jesus Christ, gives us hope and encouragement to face the day. It means that something better is coming ahead. Remember the phrase, those of you here last Sunday, I think it was, I mentioned, God will develop within us a cheerful and comfortable faith. I want a cheerful and comfortable faith. Now we say, well, what about a joyful or a happy? I said cheerful. I like that word cheerful. And then comfortable. Don't you think comfortable is a good, it's like comfort food. It's a very, I mean, you know, it's like wearing a pair of shoes that's too big. You'll slip and slide in them so you can't wear them very long. Or if you buy a pair of shoes which is a size too small, they pinch your feet and they hurt you. You want your faith to be a comfortable fit. And God will help you out in that. And by the way, don't look at your neighbor and compare your faith to his or her faith. That doesn't work. It's not a good thing. Some things we may be more mature in than your neighbor. Some things we may not be. Don't ever look around at everybody's. Focus upon your own faith and see if it doesn't need some repair work. We could all stand with an improvement in our lives. And it all boils down, it is trust. It's trust discovered in our commitment to God. Trust is one of those rarities. It's a lot like I mentioned earlier about silence. Trust is a thing of the past in some ways. Go down to any bank and ask for a $30,000 loan and say, I'd like to just shake on it. You think you'd walk out of the bank with $30,000? Now, it probably wasn't our grandparents' day. You could probably do something like that, or great-grandparents. There's too many shysters out there anymore, too many con artists that has taken advantage of that. So we have to remember that. We have to remember that trust is the factor. None of you who are married would have married your spouse if you didn't trust them, would you? And so you have to remember trust is something that is valuable. Keep it, hoard it, whatever you do. But the most important trust is to have trust in God. Now, faith is in there, of course, but trust counts. And let me say this in closing here. God is always faithful. God is always trustworthy. And God's commitment is permanent. And I said earlier, God never backs off. God is with us always there. God is faithful due to God's unswerving commitment to us always. Chins up, people. There is hope. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes in our faith journey, we seem to